There's a strange pressure to travel during summer. Are you going somewhere this summer? Why do I have to go somewhere? Well, we lived here during the horrible weather. Now that it's nice, we should go somewhere else. That makes no sense. And winter is some horrible weather, right? We're never ready for it. We're never ready for the seasons to change. Even in October, we're caught off guard. We're like, it's getting cold. What is this, every year now? But I should be used to it. I'm from the Midwest. All the memories of my childhood, it was always winter. It was winter when I was walking through slush past mounds of snow. When I was in high school, I saw a photograph of Siberia where Stalin would send Russian prisoners. It looked exactly like my hometown. Is that my bike? I asked my dad, I was like, why do we live here? Why would you stay? And he's like, well, you know, the severe winters, they really make you appreciate summer. It was at that point that I realized he was an alcoholic.
WRGN, I'm Don Rosen. Thanks for joining us here on April 1st, April Fool's Day. Gotta be careful today. I don't know, a lot of people still play April Fool's jokes. Now, I did once here, and at 6:30, I'm going to try to get a hold of the owner of this radio station back from the 90s, because I pulled an April Fool's joke on him. He calls me every April 1st to remind me that joke. Tony Gazzana, he used to be our owner here back in the 90s. And I pulled a joke on him that was so traumatic. Here we are, how many years later? He still never forgot it. He calls me on April 1st. He goes, you know why I'm calling? That's how traumatic it was. I only pulled one April Fool's Day joke in my entire life, and that was it. It was good, too. Anyway, well, 6:30, I think, we're going to try to call him. I didn't tell him I was going to call him. I just sent him a text a few minutes ago, but I didn't tell him in advance. I don't want to wake him up. Anyway, so we'll talk about that. That's the only April Fool's joke I ever played in my life. Yeah, and it was a good one. Took a little planning, and it, you know what it took? And we'll explain it at the bottom of the hour. It took the unwilling, unknowing participation of other people, because I had to predict what they would do in order to get this thing rock and rolling on the in the building here. Yeah, the April Fool's joke was pulled here at the radio station. Anyway, it was a good one. We'll talk about that coming up at 6:30 this morning, if I can get a hold of Tony. It is April Fool's Day today. So is that good news or bad news? A recent poll found Americans are slightly more likely to think April Fool's Day is annoying than amusing. We're more likely to enjoy pranking people than being pranked. 46% of us like pulling pranks compared to 35% who enjoy being the target of one. you know, when I think about it, it was too much work pulling off the prank that I did. It was a lot of work. And it was more work. And then I had to have anxiety. Was it going to come off okay? Was it going to work? And it worked just like a charm. But, you know, maybe being pranked's a little easier. As long as you don't hurt the person. It's considered rude in the United Kingdom. In the UK, if you prank someone after 12 noon, you're supposed to get it out of the way by 12 noon. And the most common reaction to a prank is to smile and say, that was a good one. Or you can say like Arnold Schwarzenegger, that was a good one. I don't know why I did that like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I think he said that line in the movie once. I'm pretty sure he did. All right, so yesterday was Easter. What kind of candy was in your Easter basket yesterday? There was a ranking of the best Easter candy of all time. And the three best were peanut butter eggs, Cadbury mini eggs, and the chocolate lint gold bunny. Bunny corn came in dead last. Now, bunny corn is like the Easter equivalent of candy corn, which I happen to like, by the way. And Americans spend an estimated $22 billion on Easter. Not just on candy, but I guess clothing and I don't know what else you could spend money on Easter on, but they did. I've told this story before, and I should have called up my friend Billy yesterday because his dad is still alive. His dad's in his hundreds. I think he's like 101, 102. My next door neighbor growing up was a guy named, the father was Bill Richard. My friend was Billy Richard, his son. And he was a chicken and egg man. And he had a truck and he delivered chicken and eggs. That's what he did for a living. But every Easter, he used to paint the eggs, hard-boiled eggs, and sometime in the middle of the night, used to put them on all the lawns in the neighborhood. Hundreds of them. Just put them on your lawn. So you woke up on Easter morning, there were these pastel-colored eggs all over the lawns, all over the neighborhood. They were hard-boiled eggs. You can eat them. And we did. I wouldn't do it today if they were sitting out all night, but but we did. And he used to do that every year for us. Bill Richard. I got to call Billy today and remind him of that. I'm sure he'll remember. Yeah, I got to do that. He's a good kid. And so that was our Easter every year. Yeah. Hope you had a good one yesterday. Nice, safe one. I used to like the Easter chocolate Easter bunnies, but you know what really got me? They were hollow. So when you bit into their heads, it was hollow. I mean, they couldn't make solid milk chocolate ones. So you got the outside. That's all you got when you ate the chocolate Easter bunny. I used to like the white ones, the vanilla ones. Oh, I love those vanilla ones. Yeah. Used to bite the ears off. First thing. Easter candy. You know what my wife got me for Easter? I ate all my Girl Scout cookies early. When we got them, I just devoured them. Then I went looking for them all over town. What were these Girl Scouts hiding? You know, I couldn't find them at the supermarket. Usually sometimes out in front of the supermarket, you see them. Sometimes in the neighborhood, they set up a table. I did find a table at the St. Patrick's Day Parade. We were sitting next to the Girl Scouts, had a table set up there, so I bought some more cookies there, and I went through them real quick. And I'm looking all over town. Where are these Girl Scouts hiding? Where's my dealer? I need my dealer. Where's my dealer? And my wife called me over to the freezer, and she said, look what I found. And there were two boxes of Girl Scout cookie lemonades. The lemonade's my favorite, sitting in there for Easter. So I went through half a box right away. I love those Girl Scout cookies. The only problem is I get a headache from the sugar, but it's worth it. I'll work through the pain to get some more Easter Girl Scout cookies. Where were they hiding this year? Usually they're all over the place. I'm searching for my dealer all over town. Where is she? And I couldn't find it. I did find though at the parade I found one. But usually every time I went to the supermarket, they were out there, and I just, you know, I couldn't find them this year. My son said he saw them outside the supermarket. I went looking. Maybe because you had to go on weekends to see it or after school. I went early in the morning when they were probably at school. But yeah, oh, Girl Scout cookies. It's only 1 month a year. I wish they like year round. That would be great. All right. That was Easter. Here's some fun facts for you. Prince's song When Doves Cry, which was in the movie Purple Rain, was revolutionary. It was the first major R&B hit never to have a bass line in it. Never had that boom, 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 boom. Winston Churchill was half American. His mom was born in Brooklyn, New York. Hey, my dad was born in Brooklyn. Maybe they were neighbors. Donald Sutherland played a character named Homer Simpson in a movie called The Day of the Locust in 1975. But the Simpsons character isn't based on that. Matt Groening's father was named Homer. That's how he picked the name. You know, I'm sure if you watch The Day of the Locust on Turner Classic Movies and the guy introduces himself as Homer Simpson, I'm sure it gets your attention right away. After 138 years, Punxsutawney Phil and his wife, Phyllis, Phil and Phyllis, are new parents. She gave birth to two healthy groundhog babies the other day. They kept the pregnancy a secret. Even their handlers didn't know about it. Phil told them they haven't settled on names just yet. So what variations of Phil and Phyllis can you make? Well, Don and Phil Everly. Yeah, that Phil Jr. you can do, I guess. I don't know if it's a boy. I don't know if they're male or females. I don't know. If they are, I guess that depends what names you're going to pick for them. All right, I guess money can't buy you happiness after all. Case in point, Will Smith says money doesn't make him happy anymore. He said the first half of his life was gather, gather, gather. The second half of his life is going to be give, give, give. You know, the Beatles once said, too, money can't buy you love. So can't buy you love, can't buy you happiness. Whereas one comedian said, money can't buy you happiness. I'd like to run my own test on that. You know, we talked about the jackpot for the Powerballs, like $900 million for whenever it is, whether they have it this week. I think it's at that now. And people always say, well, I would stop working if I won that kind of money. If I won a couple of million, I'd give up my job. But you want to know something? Look at the billionaires in this country. Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Elon Musk. These guys keep working. They're multi-billionaires, and they keep working. They haven't stopped. You figure, well, they're billionaires. They'd stop working. I wouldn't stop working. What do you do with yourself all day? Oprah Winfrey, years and years ago, did a show on the millionaires and the lotteries. When millionaires first, you know, when the lottery started, you know, started getting its million-dollar jackpots. And all those people wound up very unhappy in life because they thought $1 million is a lot of money, and it really isn't when you start spending it. Guy bought a bowling alley, went bankrupt. Other people just bought boats and cars and went bankrupt. Another guy bought a big house, went bankrupt. In the end, they were all sorry they won the money because their lives were destroyed because they went crazy. You know, they went with all their fantasies. What do I do if I get $1 million? And a million's not a lot of money these days. You know, you go through it pretty quickly. A bowling alley. It's 618 WRJN. I'm Don Rosen. Looking for cloudy weather today. Late afternoon showers. Highs near 42. Showers tonight. Lows 38. Rain and snow showers. Then all snow tomorrow. What's that all about? Highs near 38 degrees. Right now, partly cloudy, 39. 619 WRJN. Hometown Radio Refreshed. A Civic Media station.
The best.
622 at WRJN. April Fool's Day today. Watch where you step. Watch what you eat. When you get to the office this morning, just be careful. I love being here alone in the morning. No one can pull a trick on me. Unless they planted the trick the day before. That's the problem around this place. There are so many places to pull an April Fool's Day prank on somebody in this building. Hey, we put a live wire on the darn foot. Wait till he gets in this morning and Don gets a shock of his life. Yeah, well, I don't do anything like that. Let me check for live wires anyway, just in case. Yeah. No, there's not there. 623 WRJN Radio, hometown radio refreshed, a civic media station. Are you ready for this wild, bizarre story? A construction company in Hawaii somehow built a $500,000 house on the wrong property. How do you do that? And what do you do now? You can't tear it down. Maybe they don't own the property to do it. You ever think of that? That must be weird. Holy moly. What do you do about that? Well, now the baseball season's underway. You can check out all the crazy foods that are being added to attract people to the ballpark. There are three of them. In Seattle, there's Dunge's Crab Pizza. In Arizona, there's an apple pie chimichanga. That didn't even sound appetizing. But in Texas, the people in Texas know how to do it. There's a foot-long hot dog that comes with two burger patties, chili, and chips. Now we're talking. I love that. Oh, that sounds good. When it was, who's playing out in Texas these days? That's good. All right, what else we got for you? An Australian mining billionaire spent the last decade trying to build a fully functional replica of the Titanic. He said it's tough going because one of the problems he had with the Titanic rebuild is that you have to make it safe. Well, that's the same problem they had with the original Titanic. They didn't make it safe. That's why he's having a problem. You remember the conjoined twins, Abby and Brittany Hensel? They actually had a TV show on A&E or one of those channels. And they are conjoined twins. There's one body with two heads. But they have separate workings inside. I mean, they have their separate hearts, separate organs. It's all separate, except the physical body. One of the girls controls the left hand and left leg. One controls the right hand and the right leg. That's got to be difficult to walk when you get two different brains handling each leg. But they worked it out. They're teachers. I think they're fifth grade teachers. That's pretty neat. Anyway, so they had one body, two heads. And Abby got married. Brittany did not. How does that work? I have no idea how that would work out. So one girl's got a husband, the other one doesn't. That's got to be different to pull that marriage off. But hey, they're teachers. They pulled off their life so far. They didn't expect them to live when they were little babies, but they did. They fought the odds. And today they're fifth grade teachers. Kids love them. And one's married. The other's not. That'd be weird if both got married to different guys. Whoa. How do you handle that? Stuff is beyond me. I would not handle it. All right. Showbiz news. Tom Cruise broke up with a woman that you probably don't know anyway because she's not famous. So the Pooniverse. You know, you've heard of the Marvel Universe. You've heard all these universes. This is the Pooniverse. They just added Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, Part 3. Whoa, there's three of them out there, huh? All right, with the new Godzilla movie that hit theaters this past weekend, here's a ranking of the previous ones, both Japanese and American. And yes, they put the right one in last place. All right, number one was Shin Godzilla. This was the Japanese Godzilla from 2016, Shin Godzilla. Number two was the original Godzilla from 1954. That's the one with Raymond Burr. They stuck an Americanized. It was the original Japanese version, but they stuck Raymond Burr in there for the Americanized version. Number three, Godzilla vs. Destoroyah from 1995. I remember that was a good movie. Godzilla Minus One, that's the recent Academy Award winner, was in fourth place. The last place one was Godzilla 1998. This one, I don't think there was the Matthew Broderick one, but there were like two Godzilla movies that came out. Maybe it was the one with Matthew Broderick. This is the one, Godzilla Attack New York. Yeah, I think that was it. Godzilla Attacks New York, and it's just awful. It's really bad. First of all, it doesn't look like Godzilla. It looks like a lizard you found, you know, walking on in a jungle or something. It didn't look like Godzilla. There were some other bad ones, too. Son of Godzilla, which almost was like a children's Godzilla movie. It was just terrible. I like Godzilla 1985. That was a good version of Godzilla. That one I liked. He was a little more man-in-the-rubber monster suit type Godzilla, but it was a good story. I wanted to see Godzilla Minus One in the worst way. I hope it comes out to DVD this year. They were talking about later on in the year it might come out. Oh, Blu-ray. And then I want to catch that one. And I want to also watch the Godzilla Minus One Minus Color, the black and white version, too. I want to watch both of those. But Shin Godzilla, I didn't see that one. I just heard it's the Japanese made this version of Godzilla. The one that's out in theaters now is Godzilla X Kong. It's another Godzilla versus Kong movie. I think they're friends in this one or something. Anyway, I saw the preview of it. It's very herky-jerky when they do the camera movement, so you don't get a good look at Godzilla or King Kong. They're constantly moving the camera and quick cuts, and I didn't like that. It's just in the preview, I didn't like it. But anyway, we'll see. I'm a big monster movie fan. 628 WRJN, hometown radio refresh to Civic Media Station. Cloudy late afternoon showers today with a high near 42. Showers, lows 38 tonight. Rain and snow showers. Then all snow later on tomorrow afternoon with a high near 38. Right now, part of cloudy, 39 degrees. WRJN, thanks for joining us here. 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM.
My favorite holiday is April Fool's Day. And some people try and bring me down, say it's not even a holiday. I think that's the greatest holiday there is because of the way it's structured. Because on April Fool's Day, you play a prank on a friend of yours, and then you yell the name of the holiday at them. You guys feel me on that, right? I don't see why we don't celebrate every holiday like that. Like, who set fire to my mailbox? Happy Valentine's Day! You're the one! That's romance, plain and simple.
Six at WRJN Radio. I'm Don Rosen. My friend, former owner of this radio station, Tony Gazzano, is with me now. This happens every April 1st. We call each other.
No, we don't call each other. You call me.
And I always say to him, you know why I'm calling. I only pulled one April Fool's joke in my entire life, and it was on poor Tony. He was the owner of the radio station, on WRJN and our FM station. And he was also the general manager. And we had an inspection here from the Federal Communications Commission. And that's kind of nerving. You know, it's kind of nervous when you have an inspection because, you know, it's like, you know, you didn't do anything wrong, but they're going to find something wrong. It's like the FBI knocking on your door or somebody from the TV show Dateline knocking on your door. You know, you didn't do anything wrong, but you're nervous. So anyway, we had the FCC inspection and it was okay. It was, you know, we didn't have any problems. But Tony didn't know that because I walked the inspector around the building. Remember that time? Remember we had the inspection?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do, yes.
Yeah, you were out of town, and I remember he came to the door, and you were out of town at some convention or something, and I remember that one of our salespeople called you and said, The FCC said the door, should I let him in? Of course they let him in. I can't lock him out. So I gave him the tour of the building, showed him all the files, everything he wanted, and then he left. Cut to April 1st. I found some old FCC letterhead here. And you got to know some about radio broadcasters. They always have this uneasy feeling. I told you, it's around, like when the police stop you. You know, a squad car pulls up behind you. It's the same thing. You get that FCC jitters. So I found some FCC letterhead, and I blocked out everything else and wrote a new letter. And it said, pursuant to field tests and inspection on, I mentioned the date in there, the following is wrong, and I listed a whole bunch of things, and I said there'll be a fine of, I forget what the amount was, like $16,000, $17,000, $20,000. And I said, I signed it with some kind of FCC name on there and everything. I put it in a FedEx envelope. I put the return address to the Federal Communications Commission, Washington, D.C., and I addressed it to Tony Gazzana here at the station. And I put it in his mailbox the morning of April 1st. Now, there was part two to this plan. We had a salesperson working here, very, very nice person, but she was a little snoopy. And my whole thing was predicated on her looking in the mailbox, Tony's mailbox, early in the morning before Tony got in, checking his mail, reading it, and calling him up. And so I was looking out the studio window, and I saw her come in, and then I saw her make a beeline for Tony's mailbox, opened up the FedEx envelope, and read him the news. You were pretty panicking when you read it, weren't you?
You know, I think that was a federal offense, Don. I'm not sure, but I'm going to look this up, you know?
The statute of limitations is way gone, by the way.
Any event, yes, I was a little bit nervous, to say the least.
Because it was a lot of money. You know.
Yeah, I think it was 20 grand.
Yeah, even for a, you know, high-rolling radio station owner like Tony Gazzana, that's still a lot of money. You know, so any, it's not a half a billion dollar judgment against you, but $20,000 was a lot of money. So yeah. He comes in and he reads a letter. At the bottom of the letter, it said, I don't want to hear any sappy excuses, pay up. So he knew it was a joke. Then you followed up with a joke. And what did you do?
I think I wrote a memo to the staff asking them politely to contribute to this fine. How's that?
Yeah, by cutting their salary.
Yeah, well, that was a minor point, yes.
Yeah, you're going to reduce their salary in order to pay that $20,000 fine. And that was the only April Fool's joke I ever played in my life. And it was too much work. It's a lot of work to do an April Fool's Day joke. You know, other than giving somebody a hot foot by lighting their foot on fire, which I don't think anybody's ever done except in cartoons, it's just a lot of work to do it. And I just,
this one was well thought out. And
yeah.
Here I am many, many years later trying to live my life quietly. and every April 1st, I get this phone call. I think I mentioned I was hoping April 1st would fall on a Sunday so that you wouldn't call me. But nope. Groundhog's Day all over again.
Yeah, that's right. And I enjoyed doing it because you're a good sport and you're a good friend. And, I mean, that's what radio is all about. I always said the number one day when most disc jockeys get fired is April 2nd because they always do something stupid on April 1st that gets them fired the next day.
Exactly.
Yeah, back when DJs were wild and crazy back in the 70s and 80s, they used to do some wild stunts on the radio, and it was the next day they were fired for it. I mean, they didn't think it out. They thought, hey, this is funny. This is crazy and wild. Well, now you're out of work. Now what do you do? You know what DJs do when they get fired? They get a job at another radio station. That's what they do. There's always a radio station always willing to hire the disc jockey, no matter what bad thing you ever did in life. There's a radio station in Florida called Y100. Huge station. I don't know if it's still called that. Back in the 70s, they were like one of the biggest rock stations in America. And one of the people who worked there was got arrested for child molestation or something like that. It was really a horrible thing.
Something minor, right?
Well, yeah. No, it was a horrible thing. He went to prison for it. And when he got out, the station rehired him. I won't tell you the guy's name on the. I know who the guy is. I never met him, but I know who he is. They rehired him again. It's the only business I know where being fired is not held against you. There's always some other.
Actually, it's a badge of honor.
Some other radio station will make the hire right away. They don't care. So anyway, what a business. Tony, good things for you. Only good things. You're one of my favorite people. You know, all the owners of this station, with the exception of one, I really, 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 really like. Skip Bliss, the new owner from yeah. Civic Media, is a very nice guy. And, you know, just very nice people owning this company and all the companies I worked for. There's only one station I ever quit in anger. I won't mention the people there.
But okay.
I didn't have a problem with the general manager, the owner. They were nice people. It was the program director. He was a real jerk. But out of all the stations I worked for over the past 50-some-odd years, he was the only one I had a problem with. I didn't have a problem with anybody else. And that's, isn't that funny, of all the stations you go to in life? How do you have many people you work with and you don't really have a problem with them? It's just I left for, you know, greener pastures, or it was time to move on. And that was about it. And I got let go a couple of times from some stations that I would call voice tracking. I wasn't physically in the building, but they were sold. Or in one case, the owner died and the wife wanted to, you know, do something different. And that's okay. But anyway, so happy April Fool's Day. I'll talk to you next year. It also falls on a weekday next year, so good for you.
I'm looking forward to it, Don, always.
Yeah, you're a good man. Thank you, Tony.
All right, you take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Good sport. Bye-bye. Tony Gazzana. And, yeah, all the people I used to work for over the years, I never had a problem with the people I worked for. Very nice people. I mean, you know, we went into some jerks through life, but, you know, I was very lucky. I had limited jerks working for. But our current owner, Sage Weil, from Civic Media, a nice guy. I met him at the Christmas party. He seemed like a really nice person. He loves what he's doing. He wants to make these radio stations, you know, local hometown radio stations again. And Sage Weil, great guy. Tony Gazzana, great guy. The only one general manager here, one owner, which he's okay, I guess. I didn't get along with him that well toward the end, but I guess he's all right. But anyway, 644 WRJN. That's the time. Thanks for joining us here on this April Fool's Day. And thank you, Tony, for being a good sport, by the way. Stuart J. Waddles has our local news for us this morning. The polls are open 7 a.m. tomorrow to find your polling location, to see a sample ballot, and to get other good-to-know voting information. Visit the website myvote.wi.gov. Myvote.wi.gov. There are two big mayoral races in Milwaukee and Kenosha, with dozens of other county board aldermanic and other contests on the ballot. It took Racine County law enforcement about an hour to find someone that ran off from a police chase yesterday afternoon. The car crashed out on the highway G near I-94 at around 3:30, with the driver taking off and a woman in the car arrested. Police say a lot of drugs and a gun were in the car. The suspect was found hiding near a creek in a nearby field. The driver did require medical attention. The city of Racine is launching a program to address gun violence. The group Violence Intervention Program is targeting 18 to 30-year-olds in a collaboration between law enforcement and other agencies. The program aims to provide an off-ramp for people involved in gun violence, offering resources such as mental health services, employment, and education connections. Officials say the goal is to save lives and reduce gun violence. Thank you, Stuart J. Waddles. He's our news director. He's watching the news for us all day long. Plus, you can go online, and I believe you can go to WRJN.com, check out the local news, and also at civicmedia.us. You can also check out the local news, get our newscast that way, too. As a matter of fact, if you go to civicmedia.us, you can get newscasts throughout the entire company, all our radio stations covering Wisconsin, including Racine, of course. WRJN News is right there. Or you can be listening right here on the radio. That's the way I like to do it. I like to listen right here on the radio every day in the morning, and we get you the news. 646 WRJN. And just a quick reminder that the Hospice Alliance provides patients facing a serious illness in southeast Wisconsin with quality end-of-life care. A community-committed, not-for-profit, Hospice Alliance offers supportive care management, always on the forefront of patient-focused care and caregiver support. When seeking hospice care, ask for Hospice Alliance, the award-winning community-based nonprofit that gives back through education, services, and grief support. To learn more, visit HospiceAlliance.org. That's HospiceAlliance.org. Nebraska.org. A YouTuber recently bought an old nuclear missile silo in Nebraska, turned it into his house. His plan was to flip it. Now he's done renovating. He paid $550,000 for it and recently put it up on the market for $750,000. It was built by the Army Corps of Engineers to withstand a nuclear attack. The entire living space is actually in the old control room where they would have launched the missile from. But you have to get into the silo through a tunnel. And by the way, it doesn't come with missiles, just in case you're interested. I actually went to, in Nebraska, I went to a silo. You can tour the old missile silos, the old nuclear missile silos out in Nebraska. A woman in Alabama, recovering addict, asked her boss if he'd show up at her custody hearing to testify to get her kids back. Instead, he said, he offered to shut down the entire company for the whole day so 70 employees can go tell the judge how great she is. Turns out it wasn't necessary. She got the custody, but everyone's praising him for the offer to shut down the company just to support one of his employees. Isn't that great? I love things like that. I like to hear happy, feel-good stories like that. I'm glad she got her kids back. That's good. 31% of Americans will go on a paycation this year. You ever hear of that before? I never did. That's where you go on vacation but plan to work while you're there. Why? That's not a vacation then. A vacation is to get away from work. Not to, you know, work while you're out of town. Who wants to go on a vacation? Yuck. 648 WRJN Radio. Looking for cloudy weather late this afternoon. We should have some showers. Highs near 42. Showers, lows 38 tonight. Rain and snow showers. Then it'll snow tomorrow. Feel like I get my hands on that groundhog. Highs near 38 degrees. Right now it's partly cloudy and 39 degrees in Racine. Pete Schwabba, my guest at 7:06. We're going to have fun talking showbiz, comedians, everything. 7:06 this morning with Civic Media's Pete Schwabba. That's coming up here at WRJN, Hometown Radio Refresh, a Civic Media station. Civic Media Station. Yeah. Pete Schwabba coming up in a few minutes. We're going to have some fun talking about a whole bunch of topics, including favorite comedians. We're going to talk about that series, too, see if he's seen it, Quiet on the Set. I think a lot of people are talking about that. I just found out about it a week ago, and we watched the first four episodes of Quiet on the Set. We'll talk about that and see if he's seen that. A former corporate chef, a chef at McDonald's, says he once suggested an egg McMuffin with hash browns as the bun. In other words, instead of having, you know, an English muffin, you have the hash browns as the bun. But they said it would cause long lines because restaurants couldn't keep up with making them. Well, isn't that the idea? Don't you want a lot of people buying them? They couldn't keep up with this. It'll be too popular. Everybody will want one. Nope. Can't sell those. That doesn't even make sense. Isn't that the whole purpose of being in business? To have people want what you're selling? Everybody collects something. This woman in Canada has just set a world record with her collection of 1,618 different toothbrushes. Used, by the way, I might add. I just toss my toothbrush in the garbage when I'm done with them. Silly me. I should have saved them. I could have made a world record. All right, you should probably check out the photos of this Airbnb or any Airbnb before you rent it. An assistant professor at Berkeley posted a photo of an Airbnb in London that he rented because it was a bathroom with a bed in it. At least it was a short walk in the middle of the night, but still, a bathroom with a bed in it. That was the Airbnb. Ugh, I would never stay in an Airbnb. I barely like staying in hotels. Yet, you know, I like my own bed. I just feel comfy in my own bed. Can I sleep in hotels? Yes, I do all the time. I go on vacation, I go out of town, you got to sleep in a hotel. But I don't know if I'd want to sleep outside. I went camping once in my life when I was in the fifth grade. And it was okay, but I wouldn't want to do it, you know. I never stayed in a camper, though. Yeah, I never lived in a camper. Maybe I have to borrow Chris Morrow, our sales director for the company and our manager here at WRJN. He's got a camper. Maybe I'll borrow his. I'm sure he'd love that. All right, every movie star has a story to tell. When Tiffany Haddish was homeless, she used to crash weddings for free food. She'll also have a few drinks and give a speech, even though she didn't know anybody at the wedding. You know, when you think about it, if you go to a wedding, a big wedding, you could probably walk in. Nobody's going to know you don't belong. First of all, you could be a plus one to somebody, and they wouldn't know that. You know, you bring a plus one with you. And when you think about it, it's probably easy to go into a wedding. It's large. No one's going to ask you who you are. And if you do, you just say, well, I don't know the groom or the bride. I'm here with a friend who took me as a plus one. Okay. No one's going to give you the third degree at a wedding. Now, the problem might come if there's assigned seating and you don't have a chair to sit on to eat dinner if it's that kind of wedding. But still, you can go and enjoy the appetizers. You know, they have a buffet of appetizers out there before they do the sit-down meal. Go eat and congratulate the bride and groom and have a good time. You'll probably get away with it. All right, this sounds like a scene from the TV show The Office because it actually was a scene in the TV show The Office. 25 people in Switzerland had to be treated for burns after a team-building exercise where they had to walk across hot coals. I remember that episode. Pam was the one who actually ran across the hot coals. That's got to be one of the dumbest things I ever heard of. Of course you're going to burn your feet. Of course you're going to. It's not mind over matter. It's a matter of hot coals burning through flesh. Of course that's no good. A survey found we have to tell our kids no an average of 23 times a day or 8,400 times a year. The most common questions we say no to, can I stay up late? Can I have a snack before bed? Asking to buy some random thing every time you go to the stores. My mother told me something interesting once when I first had my daughter. She said, listen, you're going to be tempted to say no to everything. You can't say no all the time. Occasionally, you're going to have to say yes, even though you want to say no. You can't just say no to everything she asks. And you know what? That was good advice. Because what I did was I picked things that were, you know, the less harmful ones. And I said yes to them. Even though I knew it was, you know, can I have an extra piece of cake? Even though it was late before. Okay, go ahead. And when we went to the store, can I get this? Okay. You can't say no to everything in life for a kid. All right, we officially have too much going on because this is not enough downtime for us. A new poll found the average American only feels truly relaxed 40 minutes a day. 47% said they even have less than that. Are we trying to take better care of ourselves, though? Since the pandemic, a few years ago now, people said they pay more attention to their health and self-care. I guess maybe that pandemic seems so long ago now. Maybe it scared us a little bit. And we're starting to take better care of ourselves. Maybe. All right. Odd, but true. There are two ATMs in Antarctica. They're both run by Wells Fargo. So if you have a Wells Fargo account, there's no ATM fee in Antarctica. But if you need money in Antarctica, while you're there, I don't know. But if you need money, I mean, you're going to have to pay the fee, right? It's only two machines. All right, feel good story. Real quickly, a guy in Louisiana pulled over to save a kitten he saw on the side of the road. 12 more ran out of a patch of weeds. We had to save all 13 of them. He recorded the whole thing on his phone. I saw it. Sounds like all the kittens have been adopted, so that's good news. Good for him. There are nice people out there. I'd love to end the hour on a nice story. Pete Schwabba coming up next with me. I'm Don Rosen. Keep it here at Hometown Radio Refreshed, WRJN, a Civic Media station.